Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
What I want you to do is I want you to get a picture in your mind of somebody that you felt has done you wrong in the past. Maybe you've forgiven them, and that's great if you have. If you haven't, yeah, really listen carefully this morning. But just an exercise. Get a picture of somebody in your mind. It could be somebody in your past. Preferably it's close to you. I mean, we can all think of people like Kim Jong-un and, you know, and people that like that. Somebody who you think would, they've done something wrong to you, they've hurt you in the past, and you've kind of had a struggle with them. And you think, you know what? Man, I wish they would get theirs, you know? You've had that thought. And we all know that's wrong, right? But you've had that thought about that person. So do you have them in your mind right now? Now, if you have to think real hard, don't, because you're all good. But you know, if you already have them in your mind, okay. Now I want you to think of them accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then they come into church, and they come into here, and they say, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, how are you doing?" And you just have this look like, "No, I never. No." You think they could never receive Jesus. I cannot picture that person. And that was the situation where the early church found themselves, because there was this guy, Saul, who was persecuting the church and doing evil things. He was putting Christians in prison, sentencing them to death. And then all of a sudden, he has his own experience with God. And the church is like, "No. Really?" They just can't believe it. And God uses Paul in such an amazing way. And so we're going to discover, as a majority of the book of Acts will talk about his missionary journeys, but let's look at this, his story, for just a moment here. It's in verses 1 through 19 of Acts chapter 9. It says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way," that's what they call Christians, "men or women, he might bring them to bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Then there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.'" There's a but. You know, when there's a but in the scripture, what has to follow is going to be very interesting. "But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to their saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Never say never. That's not James Bond title. That's never say never again. Never say never, right? There are people that we have in mind, maybe personally, or maybe they are people that are dictators or people that we look at that are evil, and we go, they're never going to receive Christ. Lord, just take them out, right? You know they're never going to be a covenant Christian, so just, you know, Lord, if you could just erase them from the board, that would be really good. Just take him out, Jesus. Be careful and take him out kind of prayers. That's not really what the Lord wants you to pray. Because you never know who might become the next apostle. Now, his other name, Paul, and remember, a lot of these guys, they have two names. They have Greek names and they have Hebrew names. But he goes by Paul later on. In case you guys are thinking that, well, this is something that happened 2,000 years ago, I can't imagine something like that happening today. Well, we are living in interesting times. Because I was reading in a New York Times article about a man who was up in Syria. He was a Muslim. And during the Syrian war, he joined Al-Nusra, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but basically it's an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. And at 15 years old, he was kind of indoctrinated by his friend or cousin into this way of thinking, just this violent extremism. And then as he gets a little older, he joins this Al-Qaeda movement. And so he's fighting against the Syrian government forces, right? We know what's going on in Syria, and this is before all the refugees, all these people took off. And so as he's out there and he's fighting, he's seeing this brutality. One time he says that he saw all these captives that his colleagues had lined up, and they executed them with a bulldozer. And he thought, wow, that he was just shocked. But it actually intrigued him, and he was told that it was okay because they were enemies of God. And so he actually got more and more into the extremism and into the violence. And then he saw the government forces through binoculars doing exactly the same thing with the bulldozer, and he thought, you know, wait a minute, this is Muslims killing Muslims. What's going on here? And so he began to question this. And he eventually got out, he ran, he deserted, and he got out of the Syrian war. He and his wife ended up in Istanbul. And at this time, he's still a Muslim, okay? But his wife gets sick. And so he calls his friend, the same friend who got him into the extremism at 15 years old, became a Christian. And yeah, now the story gets really good. Because his friend says, you know what? Take the receiver from the phone and put it up to your wife's ear. And I have my Bible study group. We are going to sing, and we're going to sing praises to God, and we're going to pray, and she's going to be healed. And of course, he says, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. But eventually he relented. He said, well, okay, guess what? She was healed miraculously. Both of them, later, I believe that night, they both had dreams of Jesus visiting them. They both became Christians. And this is where the reporter enters in. He walks in and he sees this guy in his apartment with his wife. He's leading a Bible study in Istanbul. And he knows that these people are after him. They're his enemies, even family. And basically, they want to kill him. But it doesn't matter. And so he's surrounded by all. The reporter is just amazed because they all have Muslim names. And they joke and they call him, oh yeah, he is. And they have a Muslim, Islamic name for him, but they call him the terrorist. And he kind of looks down, and then he told that story. But I think about that and all the stories I've read, God is raising up Apostle Pauls all over the Middle East. That's what I mean. We're living in an amazing time, and yeah, we see hurricanes, we see all this stuff, and we see the political junk going on and all the nonsense that you know, we're involved. You know, we look on our televisions and go, oh, can't believe what's going on. But, you know, God is doing some amazing things that we're not even aware of. So never say never. Amen? Isn't that a good story? There's many like that. Well, not everybody, though, sees the truth. People become blinded to the truth. I don't know if you guys have saw this in the news, but I guess the president, well, he nominates judges, right? And the judges have to go before, I believe, the Senate, and they get confirmed. And so there were a couple senators, and they asked this one woman who was nominated to be a judge, are you an Orthodox Catholic? You're not supposed to ask that kind of stuff. There's not supposed to be a religious test for office, right? And she said, well, yes, I am, but what does that have to do with anything? Well, you know, and basically they were implying that they were thinking of disqualifying her because of, obviously, her views on abortion or marriage or whatever, right? You know, just because she, in her religion, had these particular views. And so you're seeing people that have just developed this view that not only do they not believe in the truth, they believe that the church is wrong and evil. That's what they really think. And this is the blindness that the devil covers over. And the only one that can take that blindness away is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the only one that can remove the veil. But there is a veil of darkness that blinds the eyes. And so before we jump on everybody's case and go, well, you should know better, and they should. That's a law, but there's something going on in their heart that they don't fully understand. They think they do, but they don't. They don't understand the spiritual deception that is going on, so we must pray that their hearts would break. Pray that their hearts would be open, that their eyes would be open. Open the eyes, Lord, of their hearts, that they might see. Stop persecuting my people, right? And so, those who are blind to the truth, be careful, Christian, that you don't get a hard heart. Let us pray that their eyes might be opened. And this leads me really to the next thing is that, gang, you might have thought that you found God. You might have thought, wow, you know what? I remember I prayed the prayer. I searched for God and I found Jesus. But long before you were ever searching, long before the idea of God ever popped into your head, he was pursuing you. And we know this because it says it over and over in Scripture, John 15:16, and this is abbreviated. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose me, I chose you. And that wasn't just the disciples, but God is always working. You see, the Holy Spirit, and there's three words in the Greek, and I won't go into throwing them up on the screen for you. But when the New Testament talks about the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul talks about him, there is, when the Holy Spirit is with us, there's a Holy Spirit is in us, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And the idea is that the Holy Spirit, long before he comes in you, and you become a Christian, long before he comes upon you, that is, with power, empowers you, fills you with the Spirit to do his work, he was with you, guiding you. Long before you even thought about him, he was thinking about you and going, well, who can I put in this person's life? And so you might be wondering, well, wait a minute, think back. Who invited you to church? Who talked to you? Who prayed with you when you were going through some struggle? Who in your family or what friends or what coworkers pointed you in a different direction? And you will notice that God was weaving a pattern all along. So you didn't come up with this original idea, because the Bible says that no one seeks God. No one is righteous, but he, by his Holy Spirit, draws us to him. And that's why we can trust, because it's not on our effort. We are his children not because of our own works and our own effort. It's because of his relentless pursuit of us. That's why we're here. That's why we're his. And I am so thankful for that. You see, we people search for spirituality. We don't search for God. We search for a self-tailored spirituality that is comfortable for us. We search for something that seems meaningful, right? Meditate, get into Zen, whatever. You know, go get some crystals. Some of you guys might have done that. You look at all these alternative things. Why? Because there's no encounter, though, with the relationship with the divine being. It's very impersonal. It's something that you control, right? But it's none of that is going to save you. None of that is going to bring you what Jesus can bring you, right? And so we don't search for God. God does search for us. Now, how does he get to us? Well, sometimes he brings others to us in times of our need. Amen? And as you've noticed in Hurricane Harvey, God has been doing something quite amazing. Some people will say, well, why does God bring all these hardships? Well, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that I don't think God invented hurricanes for Eden. I think hurricanes and things like, and earthquakes and things like that are the pains, the growing pains, the groanings of the earth wanting to be redeemed. And I think it's just part of a fallen world we live in. But these people from Hollywood, oh my gosh, who say that somehow that this is a judgment from God for voting for what? The president or whatever, or all this nonsense, right? I'm thinking, okay, for one thing, read your Bible. That's final judgment doesn't come until judgment day. God never used natural disasters to just judge people, condemn them and judge them. He always used them to draw people to him. It was these things that are happening are to draw us to God. Because often it's when God is all we have, then he alone will be the one that we seek. When we have so much stuff, our trust is in our stuff. And our trust is in our job, and our trust is in our career and everything, and all life is good. But sometimes, often when that's swept away, it is only then that we stop looking down. And we lift our head and we look up. And we cry to him. And then how does he help us? He helps us by sending people to us. He uses others to be his hands in our time of need. I like the kitten. They rescue dogs too. But, I mean, you've seen the first one, right? You've seen this all over the place. This guy, Daryl, he's a member of the SWAT team out there. Her name is Pham. Her and her little baby there, 6 months, I think, I'm not sure. And some of these people are, they were volunteers, they were just there, you know. But this is the thing, whether people are Christian or not Christian, doesn't matter. God will bring people, he will use anybody that is around you to bring you to him. And he will use people to help you. See, Jesus possesses us by his Spirit to do the works of God. So when the Bible says be filled with the Holy Spirit, we always talk about possession in the negative. Sure, if you're possessed by a demon, that's bad. Don't do that. Okay? That's not good. But we are, on the other side of it, we are to be possessed by God, a people who are possessed by the Holy Spirit. And as we are possessed by the Holy Spirit, we do the works of God. But even people that may not be possessed by the Holy Spirit can be moved by the Spirit, whether they recognize God or not. God can move an atheist to get out and save you, because that's his power. That's his influence. And so we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to fear. We don't need to think, well, who's going to help me? God can use anybody. Amen? But he uses people to be his hands to help us in our time of need. He uses hardship to draw us to him and trials. Now, maybe it's not a natural disaster. Maybe it's a financial situation that you're struggling with. Maybe you're struggling with your job that you have. Maybe you're struggling to get a job. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage right now. Or you're struggling with your kids and decisions that you have to make in their lives. And so, whatever it might be, or it might be health. You have a health issue that you're dealing with. It's a chronic thing, and you were just told something by your doctor that you just did not want to hear. That's why you don't like to go to the doctor, because whenever you go to the doctor, he tells you stuff that you don't want to hear. But it's not avoiding to go to the doctor that's helping you. I know people think that, believe me. But whatever your issue is, he will use that in your life. And sometimes he uses it as a testimony for others, but often is to guide us to him, because we are creatures of habit. We are creatures that trust in what we can see around us. And so God has to do that to kind of peel our hands, one finger by a time, away from holding on to the things of this life, till we will grab onto him with both hands and go, Daddy, Abba, Father, I trust in you. We so much want to cling. I mean, granddaughter back there, she get a grip on you. She just wants to cling, right? And you pass her from person to person. And I think, but that's how we are. We see the people in our life. We see the things, our job and everything. We want to cling to that. We want to trust in that. But like little children, the Father from heaven just peeling one finger at a time. No. Stop clinging to this world. Cling to me. I've got you. Let go, right? Let go. You remember the old antidote, the story about the guy who falls off a cliff, and he grabs a vine. He's holding on to this vine, and he hears the voice from heaven, let go. And he's going, no. God said, let go. No, I can't let go. Let go. No, I'm going to fall. I'm going to die. You're 2 feet above the ground. Right? And we have our way of looking at things, but God has a much better perspective. What do we learn from the Apostle Paul? We learned that nobody is beyond the grace of God. It doesn't matter what you have done, or maybe what you're involved in now. You can come to Jesus Christ. You can know him as your Savior. I know most of you already have a relationship with God. But you might even think, well, I don't know if I can serve, I can do this. He took a murderer and used him to plant most of the New Testament churches and write most of the New Testament. If God can do that, he can do anything. Amen? He can use anybody. Not just a murderer, but a murderer of Christians. Wow. This is the God that we serve. No one is beyond the grace of God. And I remember a story, and I'll kind of close with this one, but there was a man named John Newton, and he it was back in the 1800s, I believe, and he ended up being a captain. He was a captain of a slave ship, And he had become a Christian, but he just felt conflicted with what he was doing. And after a while, he quit the slave trade. And then he helped William Wilberforce to who got slavery abolished in England. And he helped him in many ways, but he prayed and he began to write songs. He felt so bad about his past life and what he had done, but God had changed him and God had used him, and he wrote many, many, many songs, many hymns. And probably the most, in fact, he wrote the most famous one. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace because God had taken somebody who felt he was a wretch. He did not deserve the love and the grace of God. And yet, God turned his life around and used him to write that and many other songs unto the Lord. And you, my friend, are not far from the grace of God. You are not far from his grace. Let's pray.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.